Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hey guys, another episode of Radio Free HPC. And you know what I've been hearing a lot about?
What have you been hearing, Dan?
I've been hearing a lot about FPGAs.
In what context? For what kind of application?
For computers.
This is back to the future, Dan.
It is. With all the talk of accelerators, GPUs, things like that, FPGAs have kind of been like the poor cousin or the second son trying to get some airtime in there. And they haven't had an awful lot of traction, but now they're being used more and more in appliances. And the reason I bring it up is I'm hearing big vendors, the usual suspects, speaking with intent to be using FPGAs in more and more appliance, but also arguably general purpose systems.
Well, we had BlueArc using FPGAs, and we had Convey using FPGAs. And
well, Convey's whole business is FPGAs with different personalities and things. But they haven't gotten an incredible amount of traction with it.
And a long time ago, we had Starbridge and SRC using FPGAs.
Yep.
But, Dan, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the big vendors at recent analyst conferences, and this is your IBMs, your HPs, talking about using FPGAs as performance assists in systems.
Well, if you're doing the same thing over and over again, maybe it makes some sense. But why FPGAs over GPUs?
Well, that was my question. That's exactly what I've asked over the past couple of days. That we have these GPUs out there. There's an ecosystem. Why not use that? Because in a lot of cases, you could probably get near the same performance punch.
Well, I'm not so sure it'd be near.
It depends on how you're using them, though, right? You were talking about that. Tell us about what you were saying, Henry.
Well, a lot of it, I think, depends on how the FPGA is connected to the system. Is it, for example, on the QPI bus as an equal partner so you can do direct memory addressing and put the data in, or do you have to put the FPGA into a card PCI. And a slot and on the PCI bus, yeah. Like a GPU. Because the memory bandwidth differences between, 8 gigabytes off the PCI bus or, maybe going to 16 when we have 16 slots in PCI 3 versus the memory bandwidth on today's...
The QPI, right?
The QPI bus.
Or the hypertransport for AMD.
Or the hypertransport, or, and if it has local memory access, it's even higher if you can page color it and get it close to the memory. So I'd like to understand the architecture.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of details, and I know that, or I believe that, for instance, Convey, when they do FPGAs, they started out with PCI, I believe, but the latest I remember seeing physically, it looked to me like they were using the QPI.
Okay.
And that's what? How much faster than the fastest PCI? I mean, 4 or 5x at least.
It depends on which bus. It could be. It could be 3, 4x. Three depends on whether it's 2 or 3 and 8 or 16. But it's significantly faster.
And wouldn't you still, though, in most cases, wouldn't the FPGA, even attached to the QPI bus, still have to go through the CPU for memory access?
No. I mean, if the FPGA can address memory, it's on the QPI bus. I mean, a lot of it, theoretically, it really depends. If it's on the QPI bus, it might be able to address memory directly if it's right in a socket. It depends. It could be a huge win depending on the architecture for these appliances. And I could see where it would work, and you could have a huge win architecturally, but I want to see a block diagram.
But it also... As a vendor, it gives you a way to differentiate on what's become, commodity platforms.
It does give you a way to differentiate, but it also means you're not real flexible.
That's the big consideration that I tried to raise.
But if you're doing an algorithm over and over and over again, an FPGA is going to be... It's a hardware instruction.
You want to reduce that to hardware if you can. But we got to remember this stuff that I'm talking about. this isn't in the context of HPC systems. This is for enterprise.
So and this is big data?
Big
then?
Data.
That's what we're talking about? Okay.
Big data and enterprise. And my sense of the market, the last decade or so, is that customers are really, really sick and want to stay away from silos. And that's your single application type system. Because you run into low utilization, lock-in, some things like that. Generally a bad thing in our virtualized world. But to me, these FPGA hybrid systems imply more lock-in and more silo-like characteristics.
Well, go back. You have something that's a NAS box. What if you're putting an algorithm in it? It's only going to do one thing. I wrote an article quite recently, Rich, I think you've read it and you've read it, Dan, is I see this move to the appliance world because to reduce complexity, things are getting more complex than the number of people that are trained to be able to deal with them appropriately and efficiently. And going to these stovepipe appliances, given the cost of things, might be cheaper than looking at enterprise. Oh, this thing can do everything, but it can't do everything as fast.
Well, it can give you a higher level of service for lower effort and maybe lower money, lower initial purchase cost. Absolutely agree. But you start going down this road into more and more appliances, and I think where you end up is you're going to end up with these stovepipes of underutilized resources.
Depends on where you're at in the food chain. If you're Walmart doing point of sale analysis day after day after day after day, 7/24.
You absolutely have an appetite for that kind of system, but you don't have an appetite for only that kind of system. You still need those general athletes.
Yeah, you
in the
need
data
the
set.
General, but Walmart, Target. The large retailers use the same algorithm over and over again.
Sure.
FPGA would be a perfect, you know, if they could embed the analysis algorithms in FPGAs, I believe that it would be a huge win from a cost point of view.
Agree. Now, as long as your algorithm stays the same, which is true. I mean, once you start doing something in IT, you'll never change. That's the nature of this business. It never changes.
Dan? Some of this stuff doesn't change except evolutionary for some of those algorithms.
Yeah.
Yes, it will change generationally, but you know, it takes years to develop the algorithms and the workflow process, like we've talked about for some things, and it's going to take years to do something new.
I would argue that that's changing, though. Look at how fast Hadoop has come in.
But Hadoop is the same algorithm, Dan.
It is.
It's MapReduce.
But there's going to be... I think there's going to be a lot of new and different models. The other thing, how hard is it to teach old FPGAs new tricks?
It really depends on how new the trick is and how complex the algorithm is and if you have enough gates on the FPGA.
Yeah, I mean, NetEase's been doing this for a while, right? They switched their architecture to this, right?
And IBM since bottom.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the inspiration for IBM, they said.
So, I mean, these devices are They're only 200 megahertz, at least from this article I'm reading here about it. But they're able to do thousands of steps at once. It's kind of like a huge vector pipeline, right? Well, so if you are doing that Walmart kind of scenario where you're doing the same thing over and over, I could see this really having advantages.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a real danger in going too far down that appliance road. Because the other thing that comes with an appliance on the system side is typically a vendor software stack as well.
Dan, you know, I think that's old thinking.
Really?
I really do. And the reason I think it's old thinking is the algorithms that are coming and the new methodologies are coming too fast for people to learn how to manage them and optimize them. And it needs to be dumbed down, to so to speak, and I don't mean they're easy to use, but it needs to be, the complexity needs to be removed significantly to be able to efficiently use them in a variety of application domains.
So in other words, as the customers are dumb enough that they're not going to be able to tune general purpose hardware to get the kind of performance out of it they would desire, it's better to have a specialist system with FPGAs and other assists to take that complexity out, even if it does dictate what software the customer is going to be using.
It's about time to solution for some of these things, Dan, and time to solution is money. From what I've heard, a lot of con-based markets, Wall Street, there's a reason.
Bioinformatics, same thing.
Absolutely. I guess, though, I completely agree that these things are a good solution, but it's more niche-y than universal. And I worry about these companies pitching this stuff as a universal panacea and solution.
The Netezza was good at being able to easily modify the algorithm for the data type the customer had. Mm-hmm. They did an excellent job with having that interface. And I believe that for certain problem areas, and maybe SRC and Starbridge were ahead of their time, but for certain problem areas, I think that there is some real value here, and I think we're seeing the beginnings of the market here, and we'll see if they give GPUs and Intel a run for their money for some of this stuff. I'd be curious. Rich, you've been awful quiet.
I have. I had a friend come from New York in come to visit here in Portland about a month ago, and he was telling me about all the FPGA use on Wall Street, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like this closed little club because they can't really some of these guys can't even tell each other what companies they work for, but they want to share as much info as they can to get better at what they're doing. They see this technology as kind of a competitive weapon.
Oh, sure.
But it's very much in some kind of little lab kind of
interesting that you use the term weapon, Rich.
I mean, absolutely.
Financial
is.
Weapon? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the FPGAs for the various vendors are going to be weaponized to be able to make better performance claims.
I'm having a flashback to Linpack here, guys.
Perhaps we could see that.
I mean, this is scaring me.
Well, to me, it flashes back to the commercial Unix market in its heyday, that everybody had some sort of secret sauce in the, at one point, what was supposed to be the industry standard Unix, and then they had secret hardware sauce and the like, and you'd go out and benchmark the hell out of it.
You'll have to remind me what that year was, because I didn't think there was ever a commercial standard for Unix, given what happened with AT&T and then USL.
It does go back to AT&T pretty much, because they're the ones that set it the one time, and it lasted for a couple of months.
Yeah, all right. I'm glad we clarified that. A couple of months, if I remember, like 84, 85, right? 83, somewhere around there.
It was kind of funny as I was driving back up from the IBM thing in Almaden and going on that piece of 101 that used to have the benchmark war billboards on it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but there's a stretch just before the airport of open highway, and what used to happen in the 90s is that companies would routinely use that to be able to boast their latest benchmarks, TPCCs primarily. Sure. Oracle saying that they beat DB2, DB2 saying they beat it in Oracle, Informix getting in there, and it got pretty nasty and pretty funny. The system vendors were doing it too. You know what I'm talking about, Rich.
Yeah, it'll be a great to be an ad salesman in that kind of environment.
I guess it was pretty hard to get those billboards. That was perhaps the most prime real estate in the area at the time.
So, Dan, what's the net of this? FPGAs might have potentially a bright future in big data.
You mean back to the future, Rich?
Back to the future. But as far as HPC, I would say that the jury is still out.
I don't know why the jury's out.
Well, even Cray's talking about this adaptive infrastructure stuff and that an exascale system might be a whole bunch of different hybrid components, including FPGAs.
The key on
to
that,
get those
is going to be
flops per watt, right?
How the heck are you going to schedule all this stuff and know what belongs where?
The real thing that I'm hearing on the vendor side is they're talking about workload optimized systems, and these FPGAs are playing a role in helping to optimize the systems for the workload. But one of the concerns I really have is how much of this is going to lead to vendor lock-in?
Well, Dan, when you buy a NetApp, you bought an NAS box and you bought a NetApp. when you buy an appliance, and not to pick on NetApp, you buy any appliance, you've locked into that vendor and that methodology. The history we went through with this, you know, I truly believe the one of the reasons that NAS took off was the complexity of managing SANs. And there weren't the skill sets in the industry in a broad way to manage these things at scale. And I'm of the belief that we're moving that direction for multiple things, and it's a circle in this industry. We're going to go back to the vendor lock-in.
But when you're buying
or algorithmic lock-in, let's call it algorithmic lock-in.
But when you start talking about servers and enterprise, what you're getting into then is application software lock-in potentially.
We're moving up the food chain. We have to. We're moving from storage as an appliance to an application as an appliance, and what's behind it, you don't care.
And actually, that lines up with something that an old boss of mine and at one time Rich's said over lunch, that servers today and yesterday were like pets. You named them, you took care of them, you made sure they had food and water, and you fussed over them. Servers tomorrow and in the future are going to be like cattle. You group them, you
cull
them,
you
cull the herd, you slaughter them, and you don't name them, and you don't go out and pet them. Might be a lot of wisdom in those words.
I'd be curious as who's that boss was.
That was Shaheen Khan.
We should get him on the show.
He would be good on the show.
I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Write that down, Dan. Well, guys, let's call it.
Okay.
It's good talking to you.
We will talk soon.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.